Amelia Showalter is with us today. She's the former director of digital analytics at President Obama's reelection campaign. In that capacity, she led a cutting-edge digital analytics team that designed and implemented hundreds of experiments to improve the performance of all types of digital outreach. She graduated from Harvard University and later from Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. After the 2012 election, Bloomberg Businessweek named Amelia one of the most eligible hires in Techdom. Amelia, welcome and thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
I want to preface this interview by saying that the focus of the interview, just like the focus of the whole blog, is not intended to be about politics, nor are we going to break any new ground in terms of the techniques of the Obama campaign. Our focus instead is how can we translate some of the concepts used by the campaign to government improvement efforts at the state and local and federal levels. How, for example, can public leaders strengthen a culture of rapid innovation and operational testing to improve the performance of their programs and agencies? So with that background for our listeners, Amelia, tell us the basics of the campaign's testing strategy.
Sure. Well, I mean, there was data and testing all over the campaign, both online and offline. But what I was primarily working on was our online operation. And in particular, I was working on email fundraising. Most of our online money came through email, and there's a lot you can do with testing to optimize an email program. Commonly, this is just called A/B testing, and it can be very simple. It can sometimes literally be just A versus B. We often did much more complex testing, but it all kind of boils down to having randomized samples, trying out lots of different formats, messages, subject lines, drafts, web page forms, donate pages. You know, any kind of communication that you have is basically an opportunity to test something new. And so every piece of outreach we had, we were able to test little changes until we got to a much better product.
Yeah. And that's something that really started in the 08 campaign, but expanded quite a bit in the 12.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we definitely had a good base to work from because the 08 campaign pioneered a lot of this. But, you know, we were able to take things to a higher level. One example I like to give is that on the 08 campaign, when they were asking people for money and would have different buckets to put people in, you know, some people would get asked for $5, some people for $25. Yeah. On the 2012 campaign, we had, I don't know, I think a few hundred buckets, you know, it just became a lot more nuanced and, you know, using the data to really personalize everything.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And was it the case that almost every page or every communication that went out had this A/B testing? In other words, there was a control group.
Yes.
In a way. Is that how
yes.
it worked?
Really almost everything was tested. Occasionally, sometimes you have to get something out the door really, really quickly. But even then, we would usually try to test something. If it was just a subject line, maybe it would be testing the format of, you know, the layout of the email. And it was amazing how much of a difference some of those things would make. You know, we would regularly test out 4 to 6 different drafts, you know, different flavors on the message we were going to send out. And usually each of those drafts would have 3 different subject lines. So we'd end up with 12 to 18 different versions of the same email and send them out to small pieces of our list, and then we were able to determine a winner and send that winner to the remainder of the list. And sometimes there would be huge differences between the very best version and the very worst version. And so, you know, it really helped us, I mean, in this case, raise more money to have done this testing, to have put in the extra effort to test out different options. So that we could then have a really good version to send to everyone else. And it was the same thing with web pages, you know, just having people get through our site to sign up to be on our email list or donate to us or read about a policy. There were so many different ways you could align a page, have the layout, have different photos, and we would test all of those out to see what would actually get the best outcome. And so by the end of the campaign, you know, we had really optimized everything quite a bit.
So the big difference between what you were doing and folks probably listening to this blog who are public managers and public leaders, your outcome was donations.
Mm-hmm.
And you could think of these same principles being applied, with the outcome being a whole range of government goals. It could be the form of a letter that goes to folks who owe back taxes, right, for the
yes.
revenue mm-hmm. service. It could be any kind of change in policy, actually, that occurs in which you want to keep some kind of control group to see if that change in policy happened.
Right, although you need to make sure that, you know, there were matched pairs and that things, you know, that you had equivalent control groups and test groups.
Right.
Obviously, you have to make sure that there aren't other factors at play. For us, it was very easy because
right.
with email, we could, you know, randomize samples from our list. With the website, we could use a splitter to send people to one version of a page or another. And if you build up enough traffic on each of those pages, then the traffic will be functionally equivalent for both.
The closest, I guess, would be a government website
mm-hmm.
in which a change is made for some
Right,
some
right. And I mean, on the campaign, you know, I focused mostly on fundraising, but we use the same principles to optimize for getting people to volunteer, getting people to stand with the president on a particular issue, getting people to, you know, use our page that let them sign up to register to vote in their state, make phone calls. I mean, there's all sorts of different actions we had people take, and we use the same types of optimization methods for all of them. And so I think that the methods are completely applicable to government purposes.
Right. But one big advantage that you had is you had a lot of people
Yes.
checking the website, et cetera, that you could easily randomize.
Yes.
And I think that's an important point, that if you're going to create these control groups, let's say, for some policy change, you need to make sure you do it in a way that's rigorous so that any differences can be attributable to the policy change
Right.
and not other factors. So you've noted that if you're going to build a culture around testing what works, you've got to be willing to lose on some experiments. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I think the culture of testing depends a lot on checking your ego at the door. I think particularly in politics, you have a lot of people who think they know best, who have made careers on being the smartest guy in the room. And what we found is that, you know, our gut instincts actually aren't always very good, you know, and the kind of people who work on campaigns, and I would wager the kind of people who work in government, aren't necessarily representative of the audience, of the general population. And, you know, we would frequently test things out, thinking we had a great idea, and then it would turn out to fail, or at least come up with some kind of neutral result. And we had to say, okay, that's fine. Like, let's not, you know, have a bruised ego. Let's learn from that. And say, all right, it's okay that we lost a little money here by running this experiment that didn't work out. Maybe we should try the opposite, and you know, and maybe by trying the opposite of what we originally thought would work, we'll actually get a better result. So, you know, for instance, I had thought that making our emails look prettier and slicker, you know, I thought if we had some really nice shiny buttons in the email, we get better outcomes. But that experiment failed. I can't remember if it was significantly negative or just negative, but not actually statistically significant, but it didn't win. Mm-hmm. And so I said, okay, that's fine. What can we do to actually make our emails uglier? What can we do to make them look plainer? And so that's where we actually did start running some experiments, for instance, to put this ugly yellow highlighting on certain parts of our email, and it looked awful, but it totally worked. And you know, if we hadn't tested out the prettier emails first, we might not have come to the conclusion that, actually, we should go test out uglier emails. When I first started with the digital department, I hadn't been doing any kind of fundraising before, and so I had never been in a position to lose money on an experiment. Mm-hmm. And I used to get very nervous if I had proposed an idea and that idea ended up losing us, you know, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, which, you know, especially at the time, seemed like a lot of money to me. Of course, you know, the campaign ended up making millions and millions of dollars, so in retrospect, that doesn't seem like as much, but still, it seemed like a big deal at the time, and I got very nervous. But as we moved forward, you know, I could look at all of the different successes that I had had and all of the different experiments that my team had run that ended up making up for any of those losses and much, much more. And so I think that having that culture of testing in some ways is about letting yourself fail some of the time so that you can actually get to the wins more often.
That makes a lot of sense. You've remarked that you always need to keep thinking about the counterfactual, that the mindset of experimentation is always thinking about that term, the counterfactual. Tell us what you mean by that.
Yeah, I mean, when we do tests, we compare a test group to a control group. We are looking at the kind of outcome we got versus the outcome we could have gotten otherwise. I think in advertising, in politics, a lot of people talk about benchmarks, and this might be true in government as well, you know, aiming for some raw number. You know, we need to get this many conversions. And that is fine. I mean, it's obviously it's good to have goals, but the point of testing is to do better than you would have done otherwise. It's fine to say that our website got 300,000 visits last month, but that doesn't really tell me what I could have gotten if I had done more testing, if I had made the website better. You know, maybe that's actually not a very impressive number. Maybe I could have gotten 500,000 visits if I had made the website easier to use, or, you know, had a better digital outreach program to drive people to the website. And so I think that part of the culture of testing is making sure you're comparing to your own internal benchmarks. You know, are you doing better than you did last month? Are you doing better than you would have done otherwise?
It's an intimidating sounding term, counterfactual, but really it's about asking what would have happened if we hadn't made that intervention.
Right.
Right. Having a control group, in other words.
Right. And sometimes there is no control group. You know, sometimes you have to implement something and there's no alternate universe where you didn't. You know, there were some technologies that we implemented towards the end of the campaign that we just implemented and there wasn't a great way to do any testing on. And sometimes you just look at the raw numbers and say, all right, well, that looked pretty good. And, you know, it's sometimes you don't have an opportunity to do testing.
In a way, you do what you can to measure impact.
Right.
If you can't form a control group, look if you're doing better after the change than you were before.
Right.
And think about, are there other countervailing factors that could have influenced it?
Yes.
But as you go up with more rigor, you might form a non-experimental control group.
Right.
You could form an experimental control group, right? This is all a kind of a continuum.
Right.
Of asking these questions of, is what I'm doing actually having an impact? So was there a point when you knew that you and your staff had created a culture of experimentation, and what were the signs?
Well, we definitely, by the end, were doing so much testing all the time that even people on our email team who were mostly writers, they completely understood what we meant when we said, this is significant, this isn't, you know, we need this many test groups, we need to have this be the test group, this is the control group. And by the end of the campaign, we didn't have to bug them anymore to do testing. They were really into it. And I remember, you know, in the last few weeks of the campaign, just feeling kind of burned out. I had run out of ideas about new things to test on a particular program. And, you know, I thought, okay, well, we'll just send the emails without any tests attached to them. And people on the email team would say, no, we have to do something. I mean, but we have, you know, we always test something. And so, you know, we would then have brainstorm sessions and they would come up with interesting ideas of things to test, which was really, really heartening because it, you know, testing is actually not as complicated as people think it is. You don't actually need a statistics degree to be able to implement some basic testing or to come up with ideas of things to test. And so I think it's very easy, well, you know, with some effort to get a culture of testing going and then have it be kind of self-sustaining because people get into it, they see the results of previous tests, it makes them want to contribute more ideas for further tests. It's kind of self-sustaining.
When they wanted to keep testing, you knew that that culture had really been built, right?
Yeah.
So finally, I want to talk about how government can also create that kind of stronger culture of experimentation and testing what works. Instead of donations to a campaign in government, it's about improving outcomes for citizens and serving the public. So do you have any suggestions for government managers, public managers and leaders who want to do more of this?
Yeah, I think, you know, looking at your programs and figuring out what kind of innovations you could possibly make, even if they're a little bit off the wall, I think having those brainstorm sessions and just thinking about different things to try out. And then, you know, then you have to start moving them into the realm of what is actually possible to implement. You know, what are some easy changes to test out? Can this population be randomized?
Yeah. Translating these ideas into government, I think it is transferable, but there's also going to be some barriers just because of, it's not naturally a culture of experimenting, partly because it's the public's money.
Right.
But also it's, if you fail, there can be...
Yeah, no, that's tough. I mean, you know, when we failed and when we lost, you know, $20,000 here or there, no one would know about that. And so we weren't under a microscope. Whereas, you know, people who are spending taxpayer money are going to be more under the microscope. And even if you are able to point to a lot of successes, people might make more of a big deal over the losses, even if they are small in comparison to the successes. So I think that there are some institutional barriers there. But I think that the culture of testing is more of a mindset. It's the idea that you can improve, the idea that you should try new things. And I, you know, even if that's not able to happen in every instance, I think the idea is that, you know, you should always be aiming to do better than you did the month before or the year before. You should always be aiming to do better than you could have done otherwise. I think that government can be a good venue for that. You need a little bit of a will to do it.
And you need a safe space. I think it's not naturally the culture of government, so public leaders need to create that safe space where you can try new things and know that some will fail.
Right.
If everything worked, you're probably not being very ambitious.
Right. Right. And I mean, I think testing in some ways it makes it easier to try new things because you can say, okay, well, we're only going to test out this new method on 5% of our population, 20% of our population. It's not making some huge leap. You know, you can think of it almost like a portfolio. You know, if you still have most of your program in the usual method, then you can't screw up too much. But, you know, using some of your population, some of your lists, some of your web traffic to test out something new, you know, you're going to learn something, and then you can start feeding that into the whole program if it's successful.
Right.
You know, if you have a web page that is there to you know, present the public with some kind of options, or they need to enter their information or whatever, there are lots of different ways to have them enter that information or to present that information to them. And so it doesn't really harm anyone to test out a few different formats, a few different visual displays, a few different methods. You know, we started with a donate page where you had to enter all of your information on one page. That's pretty standard. And then we tested that versus something that was more sequential, where, you know, you enter a little bit of information at a time, then it sort of flips the page almost like a book. Then you enter a little more information. And that was easier because it didn't seem like such a onerous task to fill out all of these fields when you only saw a little bit at a time. And there's nothing, you know, inherently good or bad about one or the other.
Right.
And, you know, a government website could do the exact same thing.
Right. Or how do you structure the lines in the DMV, you know, to have people be processed more quickly?
Right.
Try new things that have a good logic model and see if it works.
Yeah.
Amelia, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.